Peace, God.
Peace to the God.
How you, God?
I'm studying 120 right now. Call me back at the God hour.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
All right, episode 7. And we got a very, very special guest. Long time friend from the mean streets of West Nyack and friend of the God Pod. You may know him as Mixtape Tully. You may know him as Booker. You may know him by his government name of Michael Tully. Welcome to the pod.
What up,
God? What up, West Nyack?
What up, man? My neighbor. What are we doing?
About to finally be on.
Fresh off a plane from Los Angeles.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
The juice.
Good, guys.
Hey, man.
But they let you
Welcome back.
Too early?
Yeah, got out of class 20 minutes early. Back.
How to catch that big Nick win?
Huge. Listen, we don't need a draft pick. We got plenty of young guys on our team. Trey Burke lighting it up.
Trey Burke, Frank with a block. That was sick.
You guys were actually watching?
Bits and pieces. I was barely watching.
Getting live Twitter updates for every Knicks play.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. But
I can see you over the phone rolling your eyes. Calm down.
You can feel it.
Yeah,
I gave Frankie a hug. It's all good now. It's all good.
Yeah, Boogs, I don't know if you know, but Paul hates Frank Ntilikina.
Loser.
Yeah, giving up a little bit early, huh? You don't even want to write.
Yeah, you know.
What do you think?
I don't speak his name. I'm gonna wait like 5 years. I'm done with him. I'm done with the kid.
The prospect of him being in the backcourt playing with Moutier? Or you don't even
Moody,
want to do that?
Moody? What was the nickname we had for Moutier? What was the other nickname that Josh had?
Oh, Juice had it. What was it?
Besides the kid from China?
The kid from China.
No, there's another one that... Anyway, I think Burke is the best guard on that team anyway right now. So we're good. He's no Victor Oladipo, though.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I think... he's... At first, when that trade happened, I was out in Las Vegas when it happened. I got the update on my phone, and I almost got brought to tears in my hotel room.
George is the man. He was the man.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be the guy to carry the team forward, especially after his first few years and getting to the conference finals and falling short. Figured he would eventually be him against LeBron for years to come in the East. And then with that trade, I wasn't a fan of what we got back. Oladipo.
Yeah, I don't think...
I mean, it hadn't really shown out.
I don't think anybody was. Everybody thought that was like a terrible trade, but, you know, lo and behold, it was a really, really good trade, actually.
Yeah, Oklahoma City's police department was tweeting about a robbery.
Yeah, I remember that.
They jumped the gun a little bit there, yeah.
Big time.
Yeah.
Big time.
But let's get into that a little bit later. I want to we want to ask you all about the All-Star weekend. I think we were all a little jealous that you got to see some behind the scenes stuff. So did you party with Draymond and Jimmy Butler? And I mean, tell us some stuff.
Well, did you edit the Fergie? Did you edit the Fergie rendition?
Oh yeah, were you there? Were you there for Fergie?
Oh, I wasn't in the arena when it happened. I was outside the arena watching on a TV in a broadcast trailer outside. There were probably about 15 or 20 of us in there, and it was, I would probably describe it as, we were all almost like cringing at it.
Yeah,
it was pretty awkward, and then to see them showing off the players' faces and their reactions, and then looking on Twitter just to see the live updates and reactions from everybody was It was pretty rough. I was
Jimmy Kimmel was the best.
Like, what the heck? what did he say again?
Jimmy Kimmel. He was just, they panned it over. I think they were shooting Draymond laughing, and they panned it over to Jimmy Kimmel, and he's just cracking up.
Yeah. I think everyone in the building knew.
At the time.
Whose call was that to do it? Like, and was there a rehearsal done? Like, no one told her, like, listen, this is fucking terrible. Like, you're gonna get laughed at. How could not one person, like, hear that and be like, pretty good. Keep it.
keep it like that. But no,
you probably didn't practice.
They rehearsed.
That.
Yeah, I guess they didn't think it was like that big of a deal. Like, whatever, just go on, do your thing. And, yeah, it's not like a big award show, so they're obviously not gonna. I don't know.
Sure.
Whatever. Fuck Fergie.
And I think another thing too is, I mean, you think about all these epic renditions of the anthem, especially with all the stuff that's been going on lately, and how the anthem, all the controversy over it, all that, and like people want to almost like rally around it now. And then it was disappointing.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it was pretty. It was funny because I had it on mute because I had some family over and we were like playing some card game or whatever. And all I'm seeing is the reactions on TV, and I'm like, what the hell is going on? And you know, clearly you just knew by Twitter and you know texting with people, and you know it was pretty bad.
Between that and, I don't know, but I'm sure you guys feel the same. Just so over Kevin Hart.
Oh, I'm so
over
Kevin Hart.
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
Ridiculous.
That whole thing was almost dead.
Yeah. I missed, like, the first 5 minutes, and Twitter was all just like, you know, what is going on? You know, get Kevin Hart off my screen. And this was going on for, like, 15 minutes. I'm like, wait a minute. He's still going? Like, how long is his bit? And then I turned it on even later, and he was still on, like, another 20 minutes. It's ridiculous how much oversaturation he is with this guy.
Yeah, it was about 20, 25 minutes from his little skit through the player intros. It was a while. It was definitely too much, and he's been used for way too much stuff lately in general. He needs to just step back for a little while.
Do you, like, know that he... Do you know, like, the whole, like what's going to happen, like, in these pregame things? Like, are you, like, pretty much, like, rehearsed on, like, who's coming and, like, all that? Or is it, like, a surprise to you, too?
I mean, I could find out. I usually don't ask.
You don't really care. Yeah, for sure.
And just take it in. But, I mean, yeah, we have departments and people who plan that, and a lot of it too is like the TV end of it with Turner and that kind of thing.
Sure.
It's not strictly NBA.
Right.
Yeah, the Kevin Hart it's him and Rob Riggle, and I mean it was so weird. Adam Devine came out, and then Queen Latifah, Jamie Foxx was like the most random thing I've ever seen. And again, I had it on mute, so like I'm just watching this like, what the fuck is going on? Like, you know.
Oh my god.
It was just nuts.
Yeah, it was definitely an odd pairing with Riggle and, you know, like I said, Adam Devine and Queen Latifah.
Yeah,
never thought I'd see that on stage together.
Yeah, just the most random group of people and so unnecessary. But
not having Larry David there is a freaking crime.
Hey, Gavin! Josh,
you there? You live? What happened?
Yeah, Juice, will you leave us?
I'm here. I have a question.
He's cooking. I know him. He's cooking his little Brussels sprouts and string beans.
Ooh, get your greens.
So when I was little, I would look forward to All-Star Saturday more than Sunday. I just wanted to see a three-point shootout and the dunk contest. Is it still like that, or now everyone, all the buzz is, you know, around the game?
No, I still think a lot of, I would say still the majority of the buzz is around Saturday night. I think it definitely changed a little bit this year, though, with the mix-up of the teams, with the draft. People had a different outlook on the game. I think it was pretty clear that the players viewed it a little differently, too. I mean, last year, we were sitting in the arena wondering if the scoreboard would allow the operator to put in 200 score that had a two in the front for 200 plus. And now this year, both teams in like the 150s, and the teams definitely tried harder, and the guys had a little different outlook on it. But I think this year going in Saturday night, especially with the dunk contest field, I mean, it was a great field. It was one of the better ones that I felt like going into it than had been in the past. More well-known players, definitely more hype. It was a little, and especially with the big names in the three-point contest, that's always been with the growing field with eight of those guys. And like, you got Curry out there, you got like some of the best shooters in the game. That's definitely highly anticipated. I do think that I ended up putting a hex on Oladipo, though. I was kind of disappointed because I saw him. He was staying on my floor in the hotel, and I saw
him
that morning. Yeah, I came back from the gym like 8 a.m., like a sweaty mess. Got my headphones in, walk off the elevator, and he gets on the elevator when I'm getting off.
Oh, my God.
And I was like very rattled, like didn't expect to see him at all that early. Walked right past him and then turned around like, oh crap, that was Vic. And he was going to like to downstairs to the gym before practice for the slam dunk contest that night. I feel like if I gave him a little dap or something, I could have given him some of the Irish luck, and they called him the Tram that night.
Wow, so like is he your favorite player at this point? Your favorite Pacer, at least? Not of all time, but at this moment.
No, Jeff Foster.
He's quickly evolved into it, yeah. Coming into the year, I mean, I've loved... I thought Miles Turner was obviously going to have a little bit better of a year than he's been having. He got injured, he's been in and out of the lineup. But Oladipo is... I mean, he's been banged up a little bit here and there, but he plays through it. He's missed a few games, but he's putting up absurd numbers and hitting big shots down the stretch. Being from Indiana, the fans love him there, and he's brought a little toughness of a nice edge to the team that I feel like they've been lacking in the past couple of years. And then, I mean, to have him as of the All-Star break in fifth place in the Eastern Conference when it's coming into the season, thinking it would be a lottery season is pretty impressive.
They're a fifth place, right? Wow, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, they're only about a game or a half a game out of the four seed, having a home playoff series, which is pretty wild right now.
He's still really young too, man. Like, I think he left after like his second year in Indiana, so.
Big junior year.
Oh, he was a junior? Okay. So he's got to be like, he's still probably under 25, right?
Yeah, he's 25 now. And it's kind of been like his thing throughout his career. And in college, I mean, in high school, he wasn't really highly recruited until pretty late.
No, not at all.
And then obviously end up going to Indiana. And then even in Indiana, like his first year or two, he's pretty quiet, and then he burst on the scene.
Yeah, he just blew up.
Then he left.
He did something good.
and then got picked early, and then kind of got viewed as, I wouldn't say a bust, but wasn't living up to his draft pick. And now all of a sudden, look where he is, and I think he's living up to it now. So it's kind of been a theme throughout his basketball career.
Yeah, I think Orlando's kicking themselves for getting rid of him so quick.
Okay.
And they're going to get kick themselves even more for getting rid of Peyton even quicker.
Yeah, they're a disaster.
Is there a huge difference? Is there a huge difference in having the All-Star game? I mean, because they're all big cities now, but is there a huge difference in having it in L.A. versus some of the other cities?
Because
it seems like this year, it seems like everybody was just pumped about having it in L.A. Even LeBron James made a comment that, you know, all the stars are there, all the lights are there, the parties, everything is great.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, throughout the game, they show, like, the list of celebrities that was there was longer than ever. I mean, pretty much the ring around the court, and pretty much every seat was some A-lister, B-lister, like either athlete or celebrity, entertainer, that kind of thing. I think it's just like the places that are around there for to host like these parties and host everything, especially in LA, like downtown, everything is really close to like Staples and the hotel where most of the players were staying.
LA Live, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's where I was staying at, in the where the players were staying. A lot of the parties were there. I think just the amount of the convenience of it is, I think, what really sells is what these cities sell. I mean, these venues and they have the hotels and everything for artists to do these shows. I saw, like, right out in the middle of LA Live one night, on Friday night, like, Kendrick Lamar performed, and Saturday night, I saw The Killers perform. Cardi B did a show in one of the hotels, and people were obviously going ape crap for it because she's extremely popular at the moment. And I'm sure you've seen.
Oh yeah,
you guys see that mesh of video of her.
She's a very, very talented musician. That Cardi B.
Yeah, yeah.
She's funny though.
That video of her.
Yeah.
They put together with her reacting to
Fergie. Yeah.
To the anthem. it was pretty good.
Yeah, her bopping up and down to her own song, actually.
With Cardi, wait, she was in your hotel performing?
No, she was at the Nomad Hotel. It was a couple blocks from me. I didn't see her. I saw the Killers that night outside in LA Live.
Wow, so everyone was like in that one spot. So like you obviously saw like multiple players. It wasn't just Vic Oladipo. You must have saw a lot of them, right? I mean, did you actually meet any of them? Like talk, converse, anything like that, or it wasn't really like that?
Just like sometimes it's just like real.
Did you play
talk
with Joakim Noah after brunch?
We had a free throw shooting form contest. we tied. But yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, the one downside of it is every time I go in and out or into the hotel, you got to get like patted down, go through metal detectors and all that thing. There's so much security in the hotel from like Friday once players start arriving through Monday. But I mean, that part's inconvenient. The hotel's packed, like the bars downstairs and the lobby and everything. There's girls everywhere trying to get noticed.
Yeah, I can't imagine with that.
Wearing next to nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything out, trying to get picked up or get noticed by players. Or
that's like the stripper and escort heaven over there for them. That's like the gold mine.
Yeah, just walking back from the arena to the hotel, there's a lot to see.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, sure, sure.
That's awesome, man. Now, did you, like, tell us about the parties. Did you go to any of these parties?
I really didn't. I honestly didn't have much of a chance to go to, like, to the party. I saw, like I said, I saw some of the shows because they were out in LA Live, but I didn't really go into any of, like, the exclusive parties. I was so shot by the end of the night. And then having to wake up and do it again the next day, my old ripe age of 32. I don't know. I don't think I would have made it. It was kind of sad, actually.
People were saying on Twitter like how hard it was, even for like, you know, kind of like B-list celebrities, like to get into the get good spots in these clubs. They said like the demand was just insane. Like the amount of money for tables were like crazy. Like ridiculous, like more than ever, which I believe LA always gonna be more probably.
Oh yeah, it had to be. I mean, just from the difference of the crowds and the type of like band and celebrity compared to last year in New Orleans, it was like a different
night
world.
Day. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Totally different. So you can
Plus,
imagine
think about it.
Everything
Saturday
being really
night, you roll up to the club.
and you hear that 2018 Taco Bell Skills Challenge winner Spencer Dinwiddie is hosting a table, like, you gotta get in.
Yeah, he lines out the door.
Wait, is this, he was really hosting a club, Spencer Dinwiddie?
Oh, I don't know. I thought Josh was just making that up.
Is it true, Juice? I kind of believe
everybody
it.
Wants to see the Taco Bell Skills Challenge. Come on, Paul.
New York Adam is dominating that now. KP last
Adam
year.
Adam Arecchio probably bought the table for him.
Yep.
Shout out to Adam Arecchio. Big up.
Now, it was weird how, I was mentioning before how did you party with Draymond and Jimmy Butler. Did you hear anything about them? Like, did either of them even play in the game?
I honestly don't even think so. Yeah, I know Jimmy didn't. I don't think the Draymond got in.
It was just weird it's a freaking all-star game. Like, you don't have to do anything, and they're on the bench in their uniforms, and it was just kind of weird, like how everyone was joking.
I actually do remember. Yeah, I know. There was definitely a bunch of rumors about that. Butler. Draymond did get in. I do remember seeing him on the court. I don't think he did too much to get noticed, but I think I definitely do remember seeing him.
Right, because everyone was joking that those two guys definitely had fun over the weekend. For sure. Now, besides the game, they played a little more defense at the end, whatever. And, Adam Silver already came out. They're probably going to do the draft next year or televise the draft next year, which I don't know. Do you think they'll do it that weekend, like Friday night in front of a crowd? Like, was there any talk of that?
No, not really as far as how they're going to do it. I still think that it would be done in advance. I would imagine it being, I don't think it would be too different from the timing now, because they end up having they got to plan all this stuff for, as far as like schedules and things like that, for like player appearances and with either sponsors and all that kind of thing. So I don't think that it would be done the night before. I could see it being maybe like a week or two before, as opposed, because right now I think it would be. Draft results were announced about a month before the All-Star game, so I can see it being closer to it, but I don't think it would be done that weekend.
Okay. Yeah, because I heard that.
You got to have time to sell jerseys, too. Like, they have so much merchandise that they need to kind of know who's on what team so that they can make all the hats and jerseys and t-shirts and all stuff so that they can sell.
Yeah,
there's so much planning and things like that that go on, so yeah, I think they definitely do need some time. But
well, one solution to that though is you can just make, a black and a white jersey, or whatever. You know, you can just make two of each player jersey. You know, jersey of each player. Maybe just trying to think of ways they can do that. You know, just to make the weekend more interesting. Because like you guys were saying before, I mean, the Taco Bell Skills Challenge, I could do without that. You know, the 3-point's cool, dunk contest's cool, but that skills challenge got to go. They got to replace it with something else.
It's pretty boring.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
Yeah. Pretty lame.
It's definitely,
how was the crowd there? It sounded like dead on the TV. Like, I don't know. Maybe being live it was different, but it seemed like it was really, really quiet there during the game.
During the game, obviously during, like, the big plays, like the wow moments and stuff like that, everyone's oohing and aahing. But throughout like the rest, I mean, it's
LA too. So
people aren't really rooting.
Exactly.
With the people, with like the exclusivity of getting into the arena for the game, and also being that people aren't necessarily rooting for a specific team, especially that.
Yeah.
There weren't really, obviously, there were no Lakers or Clippers represented, so there weren't, like, home players in it. They weren't rooting specifically for the Western Conference. So I think the new format and then the lack of LA Clippers and Lakers representation probably had something to do with
it. Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, more so just at the plays and the highlight dunks and passes than anything else. Not like, obviously, no one's chanting and doing all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That,
how much are tickets? Like, do you know, like, what, like, the cheapest, like, ticket was to get in? Probably, like, 500 maybe?
You know what? I didn't even look. I usually do just go on to, like, StubHub or Ticketmaster or anything just to see what the market's looking like. But, no, I honestly don't know. I'm sure that the court side were through the roof.
Oh, my God.
Just to be seen and shown on TV in L.A. Jack was there, of course.
That's J-Juice money.
Oh, my God.
One celebrity who looked like he did not want to be there at all was Marky Mark. He just looked absolutely miserable to be there.
Well, because he was next to DJ Khaled in that intro. He probably wanted to kill himself.
Yeah, DJ Khaled's another one. Him and Kevin Hart, they can just, like, I don't know.
But I hate him.
Really pisses me off. Why are those guys judging the dunk contest? Like,
right.
That's where you lose credibility. You have DJ Khaled judging the dunk contest? Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I'm not sure why they went away from the players, and definitely miss having, like, Shaq and Chalk and, like, Dominique and Kareem.
Kenny Smith.
Right, yeah.
Those guys doing it. And then Khaled is up there. That's why Wahlberg wanted to look miserable, because Khaled's blowing an air horn in his ear.
Oh, my
God.
At the judging desk.
What was your favorite dunk?
Favorite dunk? I would...
Gotta be Dennis Smith Jr.
Yeah, I think I don't know. I think the off the backboard, I think that was probably the most difficult one.
With Nance, yeah.
No. That one, yeah, that one too.
The Mitchell one, the first one?
Yeah, the first dunk of the night.
Yeah, that was
sick.
Dunk. That pass needed to be, like, precise.
Perfect, yeah, the angle.
Perfect, yep. And then he got it on the first try, which, I mean, so many guys now, I think that's kind of
that's the key, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. When guys don't hit on the first try, it loses its luster almost a little bit. And for him to nail it on the first try and with that degree of difficulty, I thought that was my favorite.
Yeah,
Josh used to do that a lot in the warm up line at Festa, but he had that bad injury that kind of ruined his career.
In the C-Wing gym?
Yeah.
Or the E-Wing.
Play it down the C-Wing gym, kid.
Yeah.
All that basement gym? Yeah, that was like the dungeon down there.
Yeah, it was scary.
God.
That was scary. I thought all of his dunks were pretty solid. You know, when he jumps over Kevin Hart, and then the one at the end, you know, the Vince Carter. Well deserved. But yeah, Paul, like, Dennis Smith Jr. definitely had, like, a really sick one too.
But yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah.
That was nuts.
That one was nuts, but wasn't enough. And then
I think the one, the Vince one, you could see, like, he obviously made it and threw it down, but just that it didn't look as clean.
It wasn't as smooth. Yeah,
anything as Vince's. It made you appreciate Vince's that much more.
Yeah, for sure.
By easy Vince made it look
right.
Compared
and
to
now we're one. Just now we're just like so numb to like crazy dunks. Now we've almost seen like everything. It's like hard to keep on getting new ones over and over every year. It's tough. Only so much you can do.
There's only so many people you can jump over.
Yeah,
exactly.
Objects and, you know, cars.
Oh yeah, that's right. Kevin, Kevin Hart came out to get jumped over.
Oh yeah, of course. Of course. I was just happy they didn't give it to Nance just because his dad was sitting courtside. Like, that was pissing me off. Like, he was getting 50s just cuz like he did his dad's dunk. That dunk is kind of whack, right? I mean, like...
Larry.
You know?
Yeah, I was kind of... I kind of did want to see Mitchell and Smith go head-to-head. I thought that those were the best two dunkers and biggest high flyers of the group. I thought that would have been... If they had some kind of, like, epic dunk-off in the finals, would have been sick.
Yeah, because they're both, you know,
those are the best. Those are the best dunkers. The guys that are like 6'2" and like under, like powerful dunkers. Those are the best ones to watch.
Right, the small guys. Yeah, Was there any talk, because this has been like the talk all week, and you know, about revamping the playoffs? And Adam Silver, I know, like, came out and said it, and I'm very, very intrigued by this. Was there any whispers of that going on?
No, nothing really, other than what he said at the press conference about it. I think from a logistical standpoint, it's so hard to do.
So hard, but yeah. Absolutely.
In the current playoff format, like, you would have to change the format. You wouldn't be able to do the first two rounds being seven game series. I mean, if you have, say, I don't know, who sneaks in? Say like Charlotte snuck in and was like the 16 seed, and Golden State playing out in Oakland is a one. They're playing in the first round. They have to fly across the country three times just for the first round alone.
Right.
Then Golden State wins, and then say they get play like Washington next, and then they're going back and forth across the country again. I just think there'd have to be a change to the format of the series as well, as opposed to just doing 1 through 16. There would have to be some kind of other thing. I don't know if they would have to implement some kind of like either buys or something funky that's not in the system right now. I mean, I understand, obviously, the past, LeBron with his streak of getting to the finals is insane, like we've never seen before.
Right.
And the East always seeming like the weaker conference compared to the West. It's kind of funny, like, always kept saying, like, oh, it's a phase. It'll eventually restore balance, you know, law of averages, and it really just seems to not have budged that much. The West still seems to have the best. I mean, if you name the top
for a long
five teams,
time, it's got to be over four of them now.
Oh yeah,
yeah. The balance of power really hasn't shifted back. So
no.
I understand trying to change it up a little bit, but I think it's just really hard to do in the current format. So there'd have to be some kind of creativity too with the seeding and the length of series and the format of it too.
Yeah. Well, definitely you mentioned the first two rounds, you know, seven games. The first round needs to be five games again. That was the way to go. I don't know why they moved that back to seven games. That made no sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, remember when we were young, we used to see, it wasn't a super rare feat to see an eight seed beat a one.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, upsets obviously are a lot more doable in a five game series than a seven game series.
Right.
Seven games, usually the better team is going to come out on top.
And Mutombo.
I was going to say, you think of Mutombo laying on the ground, big up. Holding the ball up in the air. It's one of like the iconic images of the NBA in the last 25 years or so.
And the way it is
obviously
right now.
Obviously, you guys, the Knicks.
The Knicks, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the way it is set up right now, it's like the first round is a given. It's like a field goal in the NFL. It's just like the way it was. It's just automatic.
Yep.
Whereas if you go five games, and if the underdog wins the first two, now the better team has to prove that they're better and, you know, work their ass off. So, yeah, I agree. I think it's still like five.
Bleeding. Yeah.
Yeah, like you said, if the lower seed wins, steals a game on the road, the whole thing changes. But now in the seven game, if they win the first game on the road, chances are they're going to lose the next one, and then they're going to probably at least lose one of two at home, and then the better team, the home team, is going to close it out in five or six. So
yeah,
and then
the upset possibilities are definitely lower.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the whole, obviously, the whole, you know, tanking thing, they're trying to eliminate tanking. You know, Mark Cuban, he's had a hell of a week. You know, he got fined, what was it, $600,000 for, he was talking with his players. He was, like, convincing them to tank last year. Is that what the story was?
It was something like that. I saw how much he got fined. I don't know the whole details with it. I don't know what happened with that.
He was sitting down to dinner with, I guess, a few of the players last year, and he's like, you know, guys, you know, it's just better off. We're better off tanking. That's basically like how it went.
Well, how the, wait, you said, who the hell found out, and how could they like find him for that.
I think he went on a podcast. It wasn't this podcast, but he went on a podcast and admitted it.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he said it. He said it on some podcast last week, and then it was a $600,000 fine, which obviously is the highest of that sort. I think I saw that in 1982, Donald Sterling got fined $1,000 for saying basically the same thing. Which goes to show you that just the increased value of everything going on with the league and all that. But yeah, I think I'm interested to see what the lottery reform will end up doing and how teams play. Obviously, if Cuban obviously admitted it, but as a player, you're not trying to lose. You're playing for your next contract, and you're playing in front of scouts, and other teams are watching and all that.
The Knicks will lose every single tiebreaker, and they'll never, ever get a top three pick again.
Oh, sure, sure.
That's what will happen.
I don't know what they do about tanking. I mean, I'm kind of glad. It's almost like it was planned. Like they planned. Mark Cuban, said that, on purpose, almost to get the discussion going or to get it, you know what I mean? Like 600 grand, that's like a dollar to him. You know what I mean? Like in comparison to, yeah, that's like nothing.
Yeah. So, he's got bigger things to worry about right now.
Well, yeah. And then there's the other story where, there's going to be more of that coming out. Obviously it's obviously everywhere, but in sports now, I guarantee you there's going to be more stories like this with harassment and looking the other way and blah, blah, blah. So it's not good.
What about Pat Shurmur?
Pat Shurmur?
Oh yeah, let's hear your thoughts.
Just in general?
Yeah, just
what do you think?
Yeah.
At first, I wasn't too big of a fan of it. I shouldn't say not a fan of it. But he wasn't my top choice that I wanted to bring in. But then when you look at the list of the guys who were out there and who other teams took, it really wasn't much out or anything like that. You see the crap that McDaniels pulled.
You don't want him.
That was a slimy move. Patricia, I was never really high on Patricia. Their defense hasn't
been good for
really super impressive.
Yeah.
And Belichick is the defensive mind. I mean, he's not calling the plays on defense.
And it's a lot easier to coach defense when you're up 21 plus points majority of the game. So
oh sure, sure,
absolutely.
They're not going to get turned over
10 games. But I think I kind of like the combination of Shurmur and Gettleman. I think he is the right fit for what Gettleman wants to do, old school.
Yeah.
Old school, big offensive and defensive linemen, run the ball, pound the ball.
And he was with the Giants, right?
Kind of football.
Gettleman with the Giants before?
Yeah, he worked under Jerry Reese. He was with the Giants for about 10 or so years.
I think he took
the GM job in Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
He obviously did well in Carolina, put together the team that made the Super Bowl, but he got fired down there because I guess he does the players and aging players. He doesn't like to pay players.
Well, I remember the Josh Norman thing, right? Steve Smith, I think, was another one. All that stuff was pretty much him, right? He's very cut and dry. It's listen, you hit a certain age, certain amount of money. It's I don't care what your rep is. You're probably not going to be there.
Exactly. And that, Thomas Davis was coming up on free agency, and he's obviously been there quite a while and a fan favorite and all that. And they said that they didn't want him to have to go through a long, nasty negotiation with the team. And that's one of the reasons that they ended up letting him go. And during Super Bowl week, listening to the fan and
all the guests that were on, like, on the morning show with Boomer and Gio. They kept asking you. Players about Gettleman, and they all pretty much seemed to hate him. Especially,
really? Yeah.
God, why am I drawing a blank? The running back who went to Pittsburgh and is done now.
D'Angelo Williams. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. D'Angelo.
Pro wrestler now.
God. Big up. Yeah, no.
He's a wrestler?
He's a wrestler now?
For real?
Yeah, well, not in WWE, but I think he's in one of the other leagues, like TNA or something. And he's actually pretty good.
Really? Oh, yeah, I'm sure he's a good athlete.
Yeah, I would not want to get powerbombed by him.
So what about you, Eli? You drafting a quarterback or what?
They say, am I drafting a quarterback?
Yeah, like, what's your plan for number two?
I'm not taking quarterback just to take one. Initially, that was kind of my thought, but I've been not convinced otherwise, but just thinking about all these other scenarios, I think if they don't like any of the guys and don't think that, if they think like Darnold is going to be like a good quarterback, but not like a cornerstone kind of guy, same with Rosen and Allen. And
yeah, don't force
think,
it.
Like, yeah, if they think like Barkley is just going to be a stud and like change the team for the next 6-7 years and the franchise, then I'm not opposed to that if that's what they think. I don't want to force a quarterback just to do it. You see what happens to these teams that do. They take a quarterback just because they have to.
Yep.
That high. Fuck, yeah. And when you mess up a draft pick that high, it just sets your team back another 4 or 5 years, and then you'll be right back in that same spot. Probably making a bad decision again.
I think
they could trade down, too.
Yeah, they could trade down, but there's been a lot of buzz lately that the Giants are not going to take a quarterback. And then Mel Kiper came out with his mock draft, and he has Barkley to the Giants. And he, you know, like he's always had his own rules, like you never take a running back in the first round. So I think he's hearing from the other guys that maybe it just tells me that maybe the rest of the league isn't as high on the quarterbacks this year. They just don't know. So, but I don't know. I like to think that you have to get a young, good quarterback in there and groom him. And you got Odell and Ingram, and I think they think that those guys are studs and are going to be a stud in Ingram's case. You need to start developing a quarterback because this is, I mean, we're never going to pick at number two. I don't foresee that happening again. It's not like the Browns. You know, so when you're this low, go for the quarterback, I think. And then the rest of the years, you know, you can draft elsewhere. But I guess, you know, if the quarterbacks, if you think that they're not good, then trade down.
So the Davis Webb era is officially over?
Well, that's the thing that still drives me absolutely nuts, is we have no idea what he is. I mean, Gettleman doesn't either. No one has seen any tape on him.
And it's tough for him because that's not his draft pick. So he has, like, it's tough for him to really
have a solid opinion on him. I saw him with no pads, no defense, no pressure, throw an absolute bomb, and it was beautiful.
I saw that today, It looks like it was, like, 90 yards. Yeah, it was crazy. That was today.
He did that last year, too, to Ingram at, like, Weehawk in high school on the football field down the street.
Big up. He got a great arm. He's big. He's a big kid.
Yeah, that's why the whole playing Geno and that whole thing, it still drives me crazy. And the fact that Eli just went right back in. And
Is he under contract, Geno, this year or not?
No, I think he's a free agent. I think it was a 1-year deal.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so he won't be back with them.
Boogs, do you know about this Chris Sims quarterback list?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, he's got like his top 70 quarterbacks that are better than Blake Bortles or something. He's been doing it on the Levitard show. He goes on every day, and he's been counting it down for like months. And he had Eli at number 38 and Geno at 37.
Oh my god! No love for Blake.
No love.
What
is Blake at 70?
Yeah, so Blake's at 70, and then he's got 69 quarterbacks in the NFL that are better than Blake Bortles.
Oh, my God. That's crazy, because that's more than two per team.
Yeah, no, he had Chad Henne, his backup, at 61 or something, or 58, and he was dead ass.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm very interested to see what, speaking of Bortles, what they're going to end up doing. Because
I think they're right there. Yeah. I think they think that was options. I don't know what else could they really do though? Like trade for, I don't know. Like Alex Smith already been got.
Say Smith's gone. I don't think they had the money for Cousins. And I think Cousins is gonna end up being a Jet. I think the Jets are gonna make it.
So do I.
Oh my God.
Strong push for him.
Yep. Absolutely.
Ugh, I don't know. I'm skeptical about it.
But you'd rather go in the direction of drafting at six or trading up for one?
Yeah, I mean, I think Paul and I are both in agreement. You keep McCown as a backup, and then you draft Baker or whoever's there at six and roll with that guy. But it's not going to happen. Right, Paul?
Or start McCown. Start McCown and then, you know, have Baker and, the wings or whatever. I don't know. What is Cousins 30? I don't know. Whatever.
He's 30, yeah.
Him really making the Jets a contender for,
right,
long term at all. I don't.
When you pay a quarterback that much money, especially when and the Jets don't have really great players at the skill position, but they would still have to pay to bring other guys in, I just think as much capital as they have.
The Seahawks had their really good run because at the time they were paying a rookie contract for Wilson, you know what I mean? And they were able to pay all these other guys and, you know, keep them around. Then they finally, when you start paying these quarterbacks crazy money, their other positions just going to dwindle down. If you get a good rookie quarterback that can play, you save a ton of money and you can really make the team around them stat. But you have to find that guy and develop him. I have no confidence in the Jets doing that. That's the issue.
Yep. That is
you have Tom Brady who's taken pay cuts but can afford to because his wife makes more money than him.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they have the perfect thing going up there. It's crazy.
Tom versus time. Guys, we got to go.
Yeah, I got to get some ice cream, kit.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah, we usually like to end the pod with what we're all gonna eat, but it's 11 o'clock at night, so that wouldn't be good for your belly.
It's cookie dough ice cream time. Never too late for that.
Oh,
ice cream!
Sour Patch Kids.
Oh, I'm a big fan of the Sour Patch Kids, especially the extreme.
Oh God, yeah. What? You gotta get the big one.
On the
mint chocolate chip.
I like mint chocolate chip. Okay.
Sour Patch Kid on the ice cream, though?
Nah.
I do gummy bears sometimes, but I don't think
gummies are good.
I like sprinkles.
Gosh, I thought you were cooking.
Oh, my God. Too late, bro.
He's watching Chef Curry.
Wait, Juice, did you eat?
Yeah, I'm watching Chef Curry.
Me too. Oh,
who's coaching the Warriors tonight?
Zaza. But,
all right. All right,
this was fun. Thanks, Book.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on the God Pod.
The God.
All right, one.
It's been a pleasure.
You're welcome.